Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A few minutes past 4 p.m. DGS. Got Tim Comey coming in about an hour from now. Be hanging out with him. We can talk about the Louis C.K. show that we went to last night and get his thoughts on it. So we haven't really spoken at all about this shooting in New Zealand. And I could pretty much play my comments from any mass shooting over the past 10 years because I've been very, very consistent on this. And the only thing that really changes are the people who are saying the same things. That 10 years ago, you had people on the right who were saying the same things people on the right are saying today. Now you have AOC saying the things that 10 years ago it was someone else on the left saying about guns. Nothing ever changes. This obviously was in a completely different part of the world, has nothing to do with American laws, has nothing to do with the NRA, but that's what everyone's talking about. People seem to not want to hear it, but there are facts. And one of the facts is that short of something monumental, the guns are out there. It doesn't mean can't win, don't try, we shouldn't try things. But guys, there are billions of guns out there and millions of the type of gun that this guy used in New Zealand. So, again, it doesn't mean you don't pass new laws or tighten things up or try to keep guns out of the hands of people that shouldn't have them. Of course. It's kind of like climate change, you know? Like, just because you don't buy into that the world's going to end in 12 years, like AOC said, doesn't mean that you try to make the environment better. But for the foreseeable future, and I think probably for the future in general, if someone is motivated and is willing to trade their life, you can kill 50 people. I'm pretty sure I could do it. That if I decided for whatever crazy pathologic reason that I wanted to kill 50 people, I feel 100% sure that I could do it. The only thing that would stop me would be, oh my God, I didn't realize Tony had a gun. Or, oh my God, I didn't realize there was a cop over there who's now going to shoot me. But if you go into a place where they're not expecting it, like a mosque, like a church, like a grade school.
Movie theater.
Yeah. Where it's fish in a barrel. I mean, most of us have been shooting. It's not that difficult. You don't have to be a commando. And so, I know it's not a popular opinion, but look, this is the world we live in. There are billions of guns, and there are probably 10,000 people out there right now capable of doing this with some sort of plan about it. And when whatever moved this guy, that yesterday was the day, pretty hard to stop. Doesn't mean we don't try, doesn't mean we don't put up roadblocks. But it's not like someone invented the gun a year ago and we have 500 prototypes and we're trying to decide whether we want to have this technology be a part of our life. It's part of a life. Yeah. It's out there. And so really what happens is something like this happens. A bunch of people die. 49 people died. Hundreds of people will be affected, relatives and family members and church members and so forth. And then all of the pundits get their 15 minutes. And not only do they get their 15 minutes, but now it's gotten really crazy that it's no longer just, there's a mass shooting, Tony jumps in and says something, and Mark jumps in and says something, but now it's Tony jumps in and says something, and we react to that. Oh my God.
Yeah.
AOC just said, thoughts and prayers are useless. She doesn't believe in Islam. And then, oh my God, Candace Owens just said, LOL. Now we're fighting about the fight. Now we're commenting on the comments. We're so far removed from anything that's going to stop the next one. And I don't know what that is. And look, I'm not Mr. Right-Wing Gun Nut. But the best I got is more people with guns that could do just what I said in the beginning. Again, not a gun nut. I have no gun fetish. I don't read gun magazines. I don't fantasize about any of this stuff. But if I were going to become a shooter, the only thing I'm worried about is someone having a gun that I don't know about. That's it.
Isn't the story that I thought I saw it on Drudge. Was there not somebody that shot back at this guy at the second mosque? I know I saw that story that some guy had a rifle or a shotgun and shot back. That's where he killed seven, right, at the second mosque? I thought I saw it on Drudge. The other thing, too, is remember a lot of times they'll say this and we'll have another incident and they'll talk about mental illness and we need because these people. But I thought they've also done studies and quite a few, or they're not mentally ill. It's a real small percentage of people that are physically
like incoherent.
Yes, yes. So the question is, to me, what's motivating these people to do
that? It's a really, really good point, Mark, because of course you'd say, I don't need a psychiatrist. I can tell you, if you shoot 49 people, you're mentally ill.
Right.
But at the same time, if someone is completely cogent and completely in full, you know, hold of their faculties, then you have to say, okay, it's not schizophrenia.
Right.
It's not borderline personality. They're not bipolar. And I think the answer is that in this world we live in now, marginalized people, I think it's rarely someone who's like, oh, he had a wife and three kids and he belonged to the country club and he loved water polo. It's always some marginalized person. Kind of living in their mother's basement kind of thing, who get into conspiracy theories and they get radicalized. It could be radical Islam or it could be radical anti-Islam, like this guy. It could be radical pro-Trump, radical anti-Trump. It could be, I hate Goose. You see what I'm saying? But there does seem to be something just below mental illness, which is just you become radicalized by something.
I just think they have no regard for human life, and they do get involved in something that they think is more important than human life. The message is more important than human life. So if I don't care if I die, and if I don't care if you die, what do I have to lose? Go out and shoot some people, and then they'll publish my manifesto, and everyone will read what I have to say.
And yesterday, before this happened, I did a little mini rant about three stories in a row that I read. The headlines used crushed, ripped, and owned. And I'm not going to be one of these fools that blames anyone but the shooter. But I will say that when the temperature in the world has risen by 10 degrees, just in our discourse, where we can't even talk about Taylor Swift without it being crushed or ripped or owned, that certainly when we talk about politics or religion or immigration, We've gone off the goofy crap-o-meter, man. Tony, what do you think?
I pretty much everything you just said, I could co-sign onto. If there's one thing that this guy is thinking when he walks in to do this, he's hoping the first person he comes across doesn't have a gun, because that is going to be the only thing that's going to stop it.
The only thing. It's the only thing.
Yeah.
No one's going to tackle him. No one's going to punch him.
And that doesn't mean that everybody, and I'm not by any means saying that everybody needs to walk around with a gun. If you don't want to have a gun, you don't need to, you should be trained and you should be comfortable with it and you should, but I just don't see any other way that you could say you could stop all these things. Yeah. You can put metal detectors in every door. You can do, like you said, put up roadblocks. Do as much as you can. But unfortunately, evil people work really hard at figuring out how to get around whatever they need to get around.
You know what those do? What roadblocks do? Roadblocks like you have to have a background check. You can't be a felon. You this, you that. If you have a ex parte filed against you, we're going to take your guns. All of those things, what they do, in my humble opinion, my non-professional opinion, is they filter out the not so serious people.
Yeah.
I'm so mad. I'm going to go back to my former employer and I'm going to shoot that place up. Where do I get a gun? Well, sir, it's going to take X amount of time. Never mind.
Yeah.
But if I'm dedicated, I'm getting through.
Right. Most of the time when you hear an argument against guns, somebody will say like, well, if somebody has a gun on them, at any moment, they could just fly off the handle and start shooting everybody. The vast majority of these are well thought out, planned over the course of months, if not years, before they finally go and do it. It's very rarely.
You could probably count it on
somebody,
both hands.
Yeah, that somebody flew off the handle.
It happens, but
had
it's
an impulse.
Really rare.
Yeah, that's not how it works.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, that's what I think.
Hmm.
And when people, like, I would love to know. I mean, call me. 314-241-9797. Or tweet me. If you have some sort of more gun control-based solution that is more than a roadblock. If you have a roadblock, I'm with you. We're on the same page. Mm-hmm. Great. Put up all the roadblocks you want.
Yeah.
But other than having someone there with a gun, and then I've also heard, like, well, let's say it's a theater. If you've got 10 people with concealed carry and some guy walks in and starts shooting, now you got 10 people shooting.
Right.
I'll take it every time. If I'm in a theater with Phoebe and someone walks in with a gun, I'd rather 10 people be trying to stop him and maybe hit one of us than just have to hide behind a theater seat.
And hope for the best.
Yeah.
It's not good.
No.
It's not good.
No.
I don't want anyone shooting at Dave and Buster's, but if one person's shooting, I'd rather have more than that.
Yeah.
And someone trying to take him out.
Because as soon as that one guy is done, stopped, all of it stops.
Yes. Hmm. Yes.
Yeah, it's not like the other people are just going to
keep
going.
Shooting, right?
Well, since this gun battle started, let's finish
it. Yeah, it's not going to turn into a shootout at the OK Corral if there's 10 guys shooting at one guy. It's not going to go on for hours.
Yesterday on the Think Tank, we talked a lot about being a moderate. And I take a lot of crap for being a moderate. And this is one of my, you know, examples. Because I don't have an agenda or this, you know, undying loyalty to a party or a politician or a paradigm, I can look at it and say, I own guns. I support the Second Amendment. I don't support any sort of confiscation. I don't think that most people, 99.99999% of people who go buy an AR have ever thought about, maybe I'll go shoot up a grade school. I don't think any of those things. Yet at the same time, it's not a religion to me. I don't have a fetish about it. So if you said, hey, Dave, push this button over here and all guns are gone, buttons pushed. I wish we could uninvent them.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go without it. I'll go back to sharp sticks.
Right.
But we can't.
Can't.
And so given that we can't, and given that bad people who have reasonable intelligence can get that gun, then I need to be able to get one. And if you have a solution, if you have
I'm
a red button
ears.
Like that, I'm all ears.
I'm all ears. Yeah.
But I've just never heard it.
Right.
You know?
I agree.
By the way, Mark was right. They said there's an AP story that says during a second shooting at the Linwood Mosque about 3 miles from the Al-Noor Mosque, 7 people were killed. Others were pronounced dead. But the killings were stopped at the second location thanks in part to someone who shot back at the attacker.
How is that not...
Why
does Sue have to dig deep
to find that?
And Mark has to see it on Drudge
Report.
How is that not on any
fit
other
the narrative?
I've read 5 long articles on big news publications about this and didn't know that.
I get people who don't like guns. I get it, but you just can't argue with it. And the argument always is, we're going to solve it with more guns. Well, yeah, kind of. That's the only way you take down someone with a gun. That's the only way. I would love to be one of those people who's like, I don't want to touch it. I don't want it in my home, blah, blah, blah. But practically, you're absolutely right, Dave. There's just not another way. If there was one, we'd find it, but there's not.
I mean, has there ever been a mass shooting that wasn't stopped by a gun? Whether it was a police officer, a citizen like at that church where he shot the guy, or someone shooting themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They're all stopped by guns.
Yeah. And they usually shoot themselves before they get shot by the police.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so it's usually a good guy with a gun or the threat of a good guy with a gun that puts an end to it.
And I don't like siding with who I would consider gun nuts, the people who it's their life We all know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
We've all seen those people.
Yeah.
These are not Second Amendment people.
No.
These are nutbags who have just picked guns mm-hmm. instead of porn or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I'm a St. Louis Cardinals fan, and I don't like watching St. Louis Cardinals baseball with a nutbag fanatic that all they want to do is talk about how, you know, give the stats yeah. of every... It's the same thing. You can... You don't have... To support Second Amendment rights and gun laws doesn't make you one of these.
Yeah,
but when people, it's my life thing.
When people like Shep Smith, I love Shep. I love that he's a more moderate voice on Fox. But when he says things like, you know, more guns are not the answer. Well, Shep, what is?
Yeah.
Right.
Someone tell me, what is the answer?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. Happy Friday, 4:30. Dave Murray joins us. Hey, Dave.
Hello there.
So we're talking about this shooting in New Zealand and gun rights and just the whole bit. People calling in, 314-241-9797. Amir's on the phone, and I said, hey, see if that's my Amir. See if, you know, yeah. like I wouldn't take a phone call from an Amir who wasn't right. my friend. But it is my friend who is a proud Muslim, proud Marine, proud police officer. He knows mm-hmm. something about all this
and
stuff.
And a long-time DGS listener. Long-time DGS listener. We love Amir.
Hey, Amir.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Sorry to, I mean, very sorry for you. I know how seriously you take this. We've been friends for a very long time. Tell me about your emotional reaction when you heard the news.
You know, I was actually kind of surprised myself a bit once I started analyzing it a little bit more. I thought that I was going to have a more emotional response to this, but you know, I was just as saddened, just as disappointed, and just as resolved to prevail as I was after October's attack in Pittsburgh synagogue. Mm-hmm. I felt the same exact way. And, you know, I think that that's a good thing, though, because I hope we would all feel that way, regardless of religion.
What, Amir, being a Muslim, is there yeah. any way that you're able to separate, I don't even know what I'm trying to ask, but this guy obviously, whether he hated all Muslims, he hated like immigrant Muslims. These guys are invading. They are taking over my country. Can you at all separate out the immigration from the religion, or is it all caught up together?
I think it's all caught up together because, quite frankly, I am immigrant Muslim myself.
Right.
You know, I think that if we study history, everything really makes sense. In the past 100 years or so, it seems like it's mostly Muslim countries that are affected by major wars and, you know, civil strife and human rights violations. And so that causes displacement of large, you know, population, and they have to go somewhere. Now, oftentimes, for example, in Europe, a lot of that Muslim population immigrated to their former colonial powers, whether it be France or England. Unfortunately, they over there they don't adapt very well because of the old ingrained cultural values. It's like, hey, either become British or you're out, and you're never British enough or you're never French enough. And I've seen it firsthand when I was stationed in Europe for a few years. You know, here in the United States, it's a little different because here we are melting pot, and that is something that we're all proud of. So it's a lot easier for us to integrate. You know, I think it's all just fear and hate of the other who people think are infringing on their own lot and changing the status quo.
Amir, let me ask you, you started that statement with, it tends to be predominantly Muslim countries that have the refugees. So, mm-hmm. with all due respect, this is probably going to sound somewhat sure. offensive, but if someone were to say, well, why can't Muslim countries handle their stuff? Like, why are they constantly in turmoil as opposed to, you know, a non-Muslim country? Is there an answer for that?
Well, sure, there are answers, but it all depends which political side you come from. It
Yeah.
Because I'm sure one side will come from it and say, oh, it's because of the religion. You know, the religion keeps them back because it's too conservative or what have you. It's too backwards. The other side will say, no, it's because of colonialism. It's because powers from Europe turned back the clock. So, you know, is there an answer? The truth is somewhere in the middle, I believe. You know, but, you know, another thing, too, about this specific incident today, I hope I don't sound like a monster, but it almost feels like those worshipers were almost like a collateral damage. Because I actually did take when I had some time, I looked into the guy's manifesto. It is a very interesting document to take a look at. The guy is actually trying to foment a race war. He's trying to get us all to go at each other's throats. Mm-hmm. He used specific weapons for specific reason to cause anti-gun crowd to attack gun crowd, which will in return overreact by holding on to the guns even tighter. And he cited specific influencers in there in order to foment attacks against them, not because he's necessarily their fan. And I'm just scared and afraid that we're all going to fall into his trap because the killer is very intelligent man. And according to some of the comments that I heard about the snuff video that was out there, he's very well trained as well.
So let me
know that he was going through.
It's a weird topic, and I want to ask you sort of a gross question. But you're a great guy to ask because of all of your training, all of your combat experience, that if I get training and I get a weapon like this, how easy is it for me to go into a place that's unprotected and kill 50 people? How quickly could you do that if you wanted to do that and no one's in there with a gun to defend themselves?
I think the examples are self-evident, whether it be Aurora, Colorado, or this incident or any other incident. I believe in, you know, you have to meet this overwhelming force with overwhelming strength. And just like you guys brought up earlier, AP did publish that the attack on a second mosque could have been way worse if it wasn't for somebody with a weapon shooting back at this coward who had no problem killing unarmed people at worship service.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Amir. Appreciate it.
Take care, guys.
All right. What a great dude he is.
Yeah.
He's done, I bet he's done 6 tours.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing.
Wow, 6?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
No, he's a real deal. He's been everywhere, done all sorts of things. Dave, any thoughts about this before we jump into the weather?
First of all, the insight that he just brought was quite amazing.
Yeah.
And wonderful.
Yeah. You
know, wonderful in a smart way.
Yeah. I mean, here's a guy. I mean, I didn't even think about that. I'm asking him, like, you know, Muslim immigrant, and he is one. He came from Bosnia over here 20 years ago, joined the Marine Corps, you know, rose through the ranks, did all, he's a combat guy. He has been shot at and he is shot and is now a police officer. What a perfect person to talk to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think, and he brought up the manifesto is, it just wasn't an attack. It was a long-range planned thing that just wasn't going after one thing. It's a multitude of things that this guy is trying to do with this mass murder.
And he's doing it. I mean, we're taking the bait.
Yeah.
Because you look, I don't look on Twitter, but you look on, you know, Drudge and Huffington Post and MSNBC, the red meat's out there and we're all fighting over it.
He's working them up. Yep.
Yep.
So, gorgeous day out there. Is it going to get even better for the weekend?
Yes. And the key for the weekend is the winds will be gone.
Ah.
The strong gusty winds, 55-mile-per-hour winds yesterday was the strongest gust in St. Louis. Today, 35 to 40 in some of these gusts. So we're going down. The winds fade quickly this evening. Light winds both Saturday night, and Sunday. And lots of sunshine both days. Temperatures a little bit below average, though not by much. 49, 50 each day for high temperatures. Remember, with the time change, the warmest part of the day now is about 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Hmm. How long until it's not dark early in the morning, you know?
Yeah, I know. That's creepy, isn't it?
Yeah. Is it like 2 or 3 minutes a day that it goes both ways?
This time of year, it's a little faster than the dead of winter.
Yeah.
But, we're picking up a couple of minutes a day. It'll be a while.
It's weird.
It's a weird vibe.
Yeah.
You keep looking at the clock.
Yes.
Yeah, it's also a weird vibe in the evening, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're kind of used to your schedule, and you think, okay, well, it's 6 o'clock. Oh, wait a minute. It doesn't even look like it's 6 o'clock.
Yeah. It's weird for me. Like, I am an early bed guy, and by 8:45, I'm heading that way. I'm thinking about it. And during the summer, it's still light.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah,
I don't go to bed. You know, I don't put on my diaper and go to bed when it's light. But, I mean, it's just weird, you know, because during the winter.
I've become that way, too, in retirement. Yeah, you know, when I was working, it was, you know, I'd get home at 11 o'clock at night.
Right.
It'd take you a little while to wind down, though I was pretty good at that. But if I was in bed by midnight, I felt pretty good by that.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's, you know, it's 8:30, quarter nine. You're like, man. And the two of us are like that. Yeah, get a little tired. Well, there's nothing that says you have to stay up till 11.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
no
one's,
rules.
No one's watching. All right, Dave, thanks.
All righty.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My kids are the center of my universe, and I'm so happy. I have a boy and a girl. I'm really happy. They're 10 years apart, but it's so weird having a 24-year-old with their issues and a 14-year-old with their issues.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, and I'm just dealing with both of them, you know?
I can't relate to the 24, 25-year-old, but having a almost 16-year-old and a baby.
Yeah.
Two-year-old. Yeah. I guess not baby anymore, toddler, but yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Do you wish you would have had more kids?
Every once, I love babies. Man, I dig babies. And when I see somebody with a little bit, you know, like I'll go over and I'm holding, just having a great time with them, I think about it and then I just kind of, then it goes away.
Did everyone else just picture Mark and a sentient baby? Like the baby's like...
They're
dancing,
partying, yeah.
Yeah, they're partying.
We're getting down.
Having pizza.
Did you ever want a son?
No, not really. It didn't, you know, come up that we waited
mm-hmm.
later on for Beaner. I was 38, I guess. Fern was 37, so yeah, we waited later.
Yeah. So. I have many, many regrets in my life, but probably the biggest is not having more kids.
Yeah, I knew
no
that.
Kidding.
I knew that.
No
yeah.
kidding.
Yeah.
Man.
For sure. I really think it would be a cluster. But when I look at like the Lunas and I have a couple more families like that, it looks pretty good.
Tony Randall had his last kid at 73.
Yeah, there you go.
You got all kinds of time,
yeah,
brother.
Plenty of time.
Plenty of time.
It's so funny when we go to parental events. I think I've said this before. When Grace has a violin concert or something, and we show up. She's almost 16. We're the youngest parents there.
Yeah.
We look hip and young.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then when James was born,
yep.
and we were like looking for daycare, and we're going into these daycare places, they're like, man, look at these old people. Is that your grandkid?
Yeah.
I had a really interesting thing like that happen. So I'm so focused on Phoebe, and I was about 39, maybe 40, I forget, 40. Ish when Phoebe was born. So I was definitely the older, but not the only one.
No.
A lot of people like that. So I'm so focused on being an older parent. And then when I went to Father's Day with Nick at Mizzou a couple years ago, all of his friends' dads were older than me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I realized, oh, that's right. I was 29 when Nick was born.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you know, it's kind of odd. Going back briefly to the shooting, I just want to get on the record about something. Because I really do feel like I've been consistent with this over the years. And here's something else I want to say, and I think I've been consistent on this, that when people, and look, I'm looking at it over Mark's head on CNN, it's all about Trump. This whole thing is all about Trump says white supremacy not on the rise as white supremacist kills 49 people. It's all about Trump.
In New Zealand.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think blaming Trump for this would be like blaming Obama and saying that he was a secret Muslim and some nutbag went in and shot up a Baptist church because Obama would have wanted it.
But that Baptist church also would have had to been in Australia.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
I absolutely believe I affect people with what I say. Certainly the president of the United States affects people with what they say. But crazy people are crazy people. Mm-hmm. Radicalized people are radicalized people. You can be motivated by someone. Hell, was it, what's his name? Helter Skelter.
Charles Manson.
Yeah. Was motivated by the Beatles.
Yeah.
I'm going to start a race war. But I don't think that you can pin any act of violence on any president.
If the Beatles wouldn't have been a thing, he would have found somebody else.
Captain Crunch.
If Trump's not there, that person's still going to do that. He's just going to find somebody else that he says is his motivation or whatever. It doesn't have anything to do with that person or group.
I hope we don't get in trouble for saying this. But when Obama was president, I did a lot of phone screening for 97.1. And we had a handful of people who would call up and tell me that Obama was going to put for some sort of executive order that made him dictator for life. He was never not going to be president. And everything was Obama's fault. And everything was Obama's a Muslim who was born in Kenya and he wants America to burn. And I would say, okay, great, thanks. And hang up. We didn't put them on shows. They didn't get a platform. That wasn't reported as fact. People's conspiracy theories about those things were not pushed. But the mainstream media pushes stuff like this and tries to blame it on the president.
What a great point. It just feels crazy. What a great point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are, because there are people that say that same thing about Trump. He's going to never leave. He's going to make it happen. Yeah.
Right.
He's
president for life.
And that gets reported.
Rach, rather than some nutbag calling you 5 years ago, it's professional broadcasters.
Oh, yes. Exactly. Yeah.
People with shows
4 hours
on
a day.
CNN.
Yep.
But the thing is, the call screeners here were smart enough to go, okay, this is crazy. I'm not going to push this. I'm going to thank them for their time and get them off the phone or say, you know, we're not talking about that. But it seems like CNN and MSNBC are like, run it. That'll be good. That'll get the ratings.
My favorite ever, and I happened to see this happen, was when Steph, God love him, he used to love to fight with callers.
Mm.
And he was all wound up. And I don't know where the call had gone, but it ended with Steph saying, I think you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, sir, and hung up the phone. I was like, okay.
There you go.
It's
one of those days.
Yep.
The call never made it in to the never got put on the air or even got a chance to go on the air. Guy hung up on
it. What a great point, though, right? It's that we, at least this show, has never... Oh, here's someone who hates Obama. Let's put him on. Ever. But you go to CNN or MSNBC, and it's the people getting paid $1 million a year who are saying the same crazy stuff.
Yep.
It's just quite a statement to make. It's quite a thing to say without anything to really back it up.
It's a stretch. And then people, but if they hear it on TV or the radio, it's got to be true.
I saw a story the other day. People were criticizing a Fox News producer for not running the Stormy Daniels story when it first came out. And they were like, look, it was unsubstantiated. It would have been extremely irresponsible journalism to run this story. But they still got all this criticism because it was before more stuff came out. I just can't believe that people would criticize you for not running something that didn't have any proof behind it. Trump has completely changed the way the media deals with things.
Yeah.
It's like anything that bleeds, let's put it out there whether or not there's something behind it.
All that being said, if I wish the president would be a little more careful with his language.
Uh-huh. Oh, totally.
Uh-huh. Yep.
But that is a million miles away from...
It's not the media's job to coach him into being a better orator, though. But that's what it seems like is happening. It's like, well, he said this, so let's come at him with all this stuff.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.